Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for coming back. Some of you are watching, some of you are listening. I have to tell you, absolutely love your comments and your suggestions. Keep them coming in. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people that you have shared this with. So honestly, I'm super grateful. Thank you for subscribing and thank you for hanging out with us. This is Mission Accepted Podcast. And there is a reason why we say Mission Accepted, because of the incredible guests like Dr. Wendy Labatt that is on today. This is a show where entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, and media, all self-starting people, come on and share their inspiration and their hope and their ideas and their stories, which honestly, half the time I'm heart-filled and overwhelmed. And the other half, I'm laughing because this is such an incredible journey to be an entrepreneur. So before I kind of get into it, I want to share with you that we also have a gorgeous weekly show because the world is shifting and changing. And now I'm not going to say I am a Gen Z because if you're watching, you know I'm not telling the truth. But there's this incredible movement that's going on in the world of entrepreneurship. And the Gen Z generation are just diving into entrepreneurship like never before. And so we have a weekly show. So if you're Gen Z or you want to know how Gen Z's think, you got to pop on and watch all the shows. And every once in a while, you're going to see an incredible Gen Z entrepreneur come on and tell you really how it is. So the whole idea around this show is just to merge all the generations together, because what they can bring to us and what we can bring to them is incredible. And it makes everybody just that much more knowledgeable and successful. So I had the pleasure of meeting this woman. Now, I got to tell you, I believe that we connected on social, because this woman had hit some incredible accolades and she had made a big announcement. So good on you. Good on you for announcing that you had hit a milestone or you had received an award. Many times we feel like we can't do that. And honestly, you got to be your best cheerleader. So I didn't know her. I saw an announcement on Facebook and I sent her out a message. And when you know, one of the best connections ever. That's how it works, right? That's how it works. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Wendy, thank you so much for coming on to Mission Accepted. And what you have to share is going to be so important, because honestly, people, it's about finance. She is like a financial healer. And she has an incredible TV show that she's going to tell you about that you need to tap into, because learning about finance isn't a one-show game. There's so many aspects to this very important aspect in our life. And sometimes we like to kind of keep it over to one side, not because we don't want to know, because we don't understand. I know I've been in this world of entrepreneurship for a long time and I've been on the planet for a little while. And whether you work for somebody or you work for yourself, there's something about finances that we always think that we should just automatically know what to do and how to do it. Or particularly when some things happen, like a business change or a life change or those kind of things. And we kind of don't really know where to go. So this woman inspired me in our first conversation. And she has, honestly, so many answers that I was kind of not knowing where to go and ask. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to turn the show over to you. Thank you so much for coming onto the show, Wendy, and tell people who you are.
Well, thank you for having me. And I love your title, Mission Accepted, because we're all on a mission. God has given us all a mission, but you have to accept it and you have to be obedient to fulfill it. So I'm a firm believer in that. And that has got me through so many things. So I'm just glad to be able to be on your show, sharing my story and my information. I guess now I'm a baby boomer, but I started back when I would have been considered a Gen Z or something, you know, because I was young when I started. I began my entrepreneurial journey almost four decades ago with no business experience and very limited resources. And it was a time where there was no internet or social media. And the only thing you could do with a cell phone was make an expensive phone call. So I, pursued corporate America, government agencies, and, you know, in order to get the consistent, you know, big contracts, you had to project a certain image. And that meant having an, you know, brick and mortar office, employees, carry inventory, and all the overhead that goes with it. And I did that, you know, I was able to, you know, hold my own for a while. But right when things got tough, I said, you know, Lord, you know, you gave me this vision, so I know you're going to give me the provision, which he did. I got my first big contract, and I was like, thank you. I needed that. But then, you know, as I was fulfilling that contract and getting more contracts and more consistent business, you know, I wasn't getting paid on the terms of my contract. So I was telling my mentor, you know, I'm kind of suffering from anorexic cash flow because I've got all this business on the books, but I don't have the money in the bank. And he said, well, what are the terms of the contract? When are your clients supposed to pay you? I said, well, according to the contract, it's like net 10, net 15 for some people, net 30 for others. But folks were paying like net 30, net 60, net 90. And I couldn't afford to finance that kind of business. So he said, well, what you need to do is meet with the purchasing agent and with the accounts payable department, because I didn't realize, like I said, I was a rookie entrepreneur. I didn't realize that I'm figuring, okay, if the purchasing department gives me the contract, then they need to let the, you know, the accounts payable know when, you know, they need to pay. And of course they need to look at my invoice to see when they need to pay. But when you deal with corporate America and government agencies, they kind of do their own thing. You know, they're going to pay according to where, how their system is set up. So I did. I met with the purchasing agents. I met with the accounts payables representatives. And sure enough, they didn't know that I wasn't getting paid on time. They were just doing their job, putting it in the system and, you know, didn't realize I wasn't getting paid. So after, you know, the meeting, it turned out they were, you know, very supportive because they wanted me to, you know, be successful. They ended up, you know, paying ahead of time and, you know, or within the, you know, the time frame they were supposed to. And one thing about it, this was a time when being a female and minority owned business meant something, you know, for everybody. It was a mutually beneficial relationship and everybody wanted everybody to succeed. So I got a little more confidence after that. So I ended up going to my vendor saying, look, you know, you guys are getting a piece of this business that you wouldn't get otherwise because you're not female owned or minority owned. So I need some better pricing and better terms. And like I said, everybody saw the mutually beneficial part of, you know, working things out. And sure enough, I got better pricing and better terms with them. So it's like, okay, I'm getting pretty good at this entrepreneur thing. So, you know, fast forward, I stayed in that business probably about 15 years. And, you know, my personal life changed. I remarried, wanted to have more kids. And I'm like, I need to kind of get out of this, you know, corporate government agency hustle and bustle. So I started a tax preparation business, which was, you know, more consumer-based, even though I had some, you know, business clients. And that was very lucrative, still is very lucrative. But in 2014, the Affordable Care Act mandated that everyone have health insurance. So I expanded that business to include, you know, health insurance or really insurance and financial services. So not wanting to be a hypocrite, I bought all the stuff I was trying to sell my clients because people were asking me, well, what do you have? Where's your money? And I can honestly say what I had and where my money was. But after one little session that we had, a training session with one of our vendors, one of my colleagues, you know, came up to me and he was saying, Wendy, I went to the doctor and had a physical, just a routine physical, and I found out I got kidney cancer. And I'm like, kidney cancer? Wow. You know, I never heard of anybody with kidney cancer. So I, you know, told him, I said, well, I'm going to pray for you that you'll, you know, be healed and everything will come out okay. But I kind of jokingly said, well, I know you're going to clock some dollars, because I knew the products and services we were selling, a cancer diagnosis would pay big money. And he said, Wendy, I don't have any of that stuff. He said, I barely have the minimum health insurance to meet the mandate. And I'm like, what? You know, and that meant that all those chemo bills and everything wasn't going to get paid, because the minimum wasn't going to cover that. So I said, well, you know, it just kind of confirmed that me doing what I did, and, you know, and it wasn't from a financial planning perspective, it was more from a business and marketing perspective to buy all those products I was selling. And in 2017, I was diagnosed with an aggressive form of breast cancer. So of course I'm like, Lord, you know, let's kick this cancer's butt, you know, so I want an aggressive form of treatment. And that meant chemotherapy every 3 weeks for a year. I had 5 surgeries, all the CAT scan, PET scan, labs, everything that, you know, you needed to, you know, conquer the disease. And when I looked at my medical bills, those infusions every 3 weeks were like $67,000 every 3 weeks for a year. And I'm like, good Lord, I calculated that stuff out. It was like almost, well, it was a little over $1.1 million. And then with all the surgeries and all the other tests, I had almost $1.5 million worth of medical expenses. But thank God I practiced what I preach, because my health insurance paid for all of that. And not only that, all those supplemental policies that I had provided me with multiple six-figure tax-free financial shots in the arm. And I consider that, you know, the financial cure for breast cancer. So, you know, who would have thought a breast cancer diagnosis would lead to me starting a whole business to empower other people? Because I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm in my comfort zone, I am good. And he's like, no, I brought you out of this situation, you know, better than you went in. So you're going on a crusade to empower other people to not let an injury or illness ruin them financially. You're going to help people get their finances together, empower them, and get their financial health, which I call financial health, in order. So I'm like, okay, I'm, you know, I'm being obedient. I accepted that mission. So here I am.
Wow, that is an incredible story to digest. And I was like, that's got to hit the airways. And, you know, I'm so glad that you do what you do, and an opportunity to have you on here. And I think it's those kind of stories that wake, you know, that need to kind of wake us up a little bit, because those stories aren't rare. They don't just happen to the occasional person. It's not, you're not the person that's, you know, climbed up Everest. Those are everyday stories that happen to everyday people. And coming from the world of entrepreneurship, that a lot of times, you know, we put money into our business. It's hard sometimes. I think, you know, as a solo parent, a lot of times you're putting the money into your kids, and it's hard to carve out because it's not something that you want to think about. I mean, am I accurate on that, or is it just the people I know?
No, you're accurate, because like I said, I have very limited financial resources, but I had good credit. You know, I made a lot of money before I entered the world of entrepreneurship, but I was doing something, I was making a lot of money, but I hated what I was doing. But when I got to be an entrepreneur, I loved what I was doing, but I wasn't making any money, you know, but right. It didn't matter, because like I said, as I needed things, even though I couldn't see where it was going to come from or how it's going to happen, it always came through. You know, the fact that I accepted my mission, when God gives you that vision, he gives you the provision to go with it. But as I matured, not only as an entrepreneur, but spiritually, I came to realize that you have to separate the two. You have to, you know, at first you start out pouring all your personal assets and all your personal credit going on the line for your business. But then if your business fails, then you're kind of, you know, up the creek without a paddle. But, you know, again, if God gives you that vision, you gotta, you know, he'll provide the provision, but you gotta be obedient. So you have to learn how to separate your personal finances from your business finances, because they are two separate entities. Even though initially you may have to, you know, sign for a line of credit or put up your house, you know, to get that seed money. But, you know, eventually you got to break off. You got to keep it separate. Make sure that, you know, if the business folds, your personal finances are going to still be okay. So a lot of people don't realize that until it's too late. So that's one thing they need to do sooner rather than later.
That's great advice. So to kind of tell us, so, you know, obviously you're healthy and you're happy and you've come along a long way. And so tell us maybe, what do you encounter with people now in terms of finance? Like, you know, you've got this, I know that it's Financial Literacy Month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got your idea around financial literacy and I think financial health, that are, they're very different. A lot of people wouldn't think that. A lot of people think that's all the same. Can you kind of get into that a little bit with us?
Yeah, a lot of people confuse and conflate financial literacy with financial health. Matter of fact, they don't even mention financial health. They'll talk about physical health, mental health, but they don't talk about financial health. They say financial literacy. But, you know, you have to realize, just like with your health, your physical health, you know, you can know how to diet, exercise, eat right. But if you don't do it and you go to the doctor and you're overweight or obese and you got high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, just like financial literacy, knowing what to do, and financial health, the results of whether or not you did it. So it's the same thing. You know, knowing what to do is financial literacy. Doing it and seeing the results of that is your financial health. So I focus on the financial health because, you know, that's the impact and that's where you see the results.
All right. So it's really doing. It's really doing. Taking the information that you know and putting it into action.
Yes.
Right. And that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the kind of, is it different products? Is it what you were talking about earlier? Like, what are people doing to, so someone's in that place and they're like, I'm listening and I don't know if what I've got is enough. Oh, now that she's talked about that, what does that look like? And you know, sometimes we think we're going to live forever and we kind of maybe realize that we don't. But so what are some of the things that people really need to start with? And then if people are, they've had the same thing for a while, what should people be revisiting?
Well, it's an ongoing process. Yeah. I like to start out with Robert Kiyosaki's quote. It's not about how much money you make, but how much money you keep, how hard it works for you, and how many generations you keep it for. And that's where a lot of people want to make a lot of money, but they don't keep the money. And then they make the money and they're working to make the money instead of the money working for them. And then, you know, they don't pass it on. They don't create that generational wealth. So I love that quote from him. But my philosophy and my strategy is there are six obstacles to optimize your financial health. So I, you know, go through those with my clients. The first obstacle is mindset and knowledge deficiency. You know, you got to have the right mindset. And when I say the right mindset, your mindset has to match where you want to be. You know, there are a lot of people that, you know, want millions of dollars, but they got a pauper's mindset. And it's just like people that win the lottery, win millions, they don't have the right mindset. So in a year or two, they're broke. And the same with a lot of professional athletes, you know, they come out mm-hmm. of, you know, school and or high school, go to college, but they don't have the right mindset. And then next thing you know, when they retire, you know, they're broke. So it's having that mindset, and the mindset is not where you are, but where you want to be. And then the knowledge deficiency, a lot of people don't understand, you know, compound interest, you know, and how things work and how to make their money work for them. So that's the key. That's where you start getting your mindset right and getting that knowledge right. You know, flood your mind with knowledge about finance, and not all about money, but your strategy, your spirituality, and understanding that just because you don't have the money to do something doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It just means that you're going to have to tune into your spirit and say, okay, Lord, you tell me what to do. How am I going to get it done? So that's the key. It's your mindset and knowledge deficiency. The next thing is you have to have control over your finances. And I tell my clients, you got to have discipline. And that means that you have to decide what you want more over what you want now. Because a lot of people want everything now, but it impacts their, you know, long-term financial goals. So you have to have that discipline. I give my clients a spending challenge when they first start out with me, and they have to track everything that they spend, you know, daily. And I don't care if it's a piece of gum, you write it down, you know, how you pay for it, whether it's cash or whether it's debit card, credit card, or whatever. And at the end, I try to get them to at the end of the week to kind of total it up, but they do it for 30 days. And I'm going to tell you, I've had people, just about everyone that I work with, start out with that spending challenge. And the results are, one guy said, look, I did that spending challenge and I realized I spent $800 eating out. I said, okay, was that, you know, he's a businessman. Was that taking your clients out? Well, he's like, no, it's just me and my wife and the grandkids. And it wasn't that he couldn't afford to do it, but it was an aha moment for him. Like $800, I could have paid something. I could have done something, invested, you know, done something more lucrative than eating out. The only thing he had to show for was a few extra pounds. And I had one of my colleagues who I was on her podcast and, you know, we talked about it. And afterwards she said, Wendy, I did that spending challenge you talked about, and my husband and I, we spent $3,000 eating out. Like, $3,000? What the heck? I said, you could pay for your car, you could pay for a house, you could do all kinds, you could send your kids to college spending that kind of money. But it's, again, people don't realize it, but when you put it on paper, you're like, okay, this is something where I can, you know, take more control of my finance. I can plan where my money goes instead of wondering where it went, because they both wondered where their money was going. And then when they put it on paper, they saw where it was going. Now, the next thing, now there are other categories under that, control over your finances, but that's the key one. The next obstacle is proper protection. You know, my story is a perfect example of why you need proper protection. And proper protection, you know, people don't want to talk about insurance or anything like that, but that's why I call it proper protection, because you're protecting your health, your life, your death, and your legacy. So that's key, because a lot of people don't realize, when you talk about maybe life insurance, you know, there are policies and plans out there that have living benefits where you can, you know, draw up to 90% of your death benefit while you're still living, you know, because most people have the traditional policies where when you die, your family gets the money. But, you know, with living benefits, especially if you have an illness, you can withdraw up to 90%. Say if you have a $500,000 policy, you can draw up to $450,000 that you can use however you want, whether you say, okay, I'm terminally ill, so I want to take a trip around the world, or if you want to retrofit your house because you're handicapped, or you just want to send your kids to college, or whatever you want to do, the money is available. But people would rather, like I said, spend that money instead of going for what they want now versus, you know, what they want more. They spend that money and when they could be paying for the policy, you know. So that's where the spending challenge comes into play as well. And then the health insurance, I tell people there's a cost to having it and a cost to using it. Now, you guys are in Canada, so y'all got, you know, universal health, which is a good thing. But in here in America, you can have, you know, a lot of people want the low premium, but they'll take a high deductible. So the cost of having it could be low, which is a low premium, but the cost of using it, say if you got a $5,000 deductible, you've got to pay that first $5,000, which, you know, if you just do the numbers, it may cost maybe $50 or $100 more to get maybe a zero deductible or $1,000 deductible versus having to fork up that money. If you're not willing to pay that extra $100 or to even $200, then you're missing the point. You know, you need to go ahead and, you know, have a lower cost of using it. And there's a new program that I'm promoting because, you know, so many people die from COVID and all kind of other diseases. And, you know, it's a funeral assistance plan where you can, you know, cover seven people for $75 a month. I mean, what the heck? You know, funerals nowadays run, you know, anywhere, depending on where you are, $8,000 plus. You know, that's just the funeral. That's not including, you know, the cost of burial. So those are the kind of things that people need to understand, that people use, you know, insurance policies to create generational wealth. Instead of spending, you know, $50, $100 on some gym shoes, put that money in a policy for your grandchildren or your children. And by the time they're in high school or college or want to get married and have this big wedding, you got the money that's there to pull, you know, to provide that for them. So that's the next one. Now, tax codes and tax laws. We're just ending, matter of fact, we just ended tax season Monday, April 18th, which I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, because I got the tax business. And I'm like, yeah, I'm done with that for now. But people have to understand how the tax codes and the tax laws impact their income. You know, a lot of people want to go with the 401ks, the IRAs, and that's okay. I'm not knocking that. But they have a misconception that if they invest in that, then when they retire, they got all this money coming in. But it's like a farmer paying taxes on the seed. And once they plant the seed, the harvest is tax-free. But with the 401k, you're getting a tax-free seed, but you're paying tax on that harvest. So I don't know about you, but I'd rather pay tax on the seed and get tax-free harvest, because that's where your money goes. You know, you have to pull out more money to get the net you want, but with the 401k, you're pulling from your principal and not from, you know, not your principal doesn't keep going. As you pull that money out, your principal depletes. So people have to understand that. And now I've been talking about this global supply chain and global economic impact for years, but people, just everyday folks, are understanding that the supply chain impacts your life. You know, gas prices are sky high. Products are sky high. And it's not just because of inflation. That is a factor, but it's because products are sitting out on the ocean in a crate container and aren't getting to the proper destination. So that's an impact. You know, we're going, feeling the impact of the war that's going on with Russia and Ukraine. You know, that could be political, but still it's a global economic impact. And then the last thing is taking action. Like I said, with the financial health, like financial literacy, you can know what to do, but if you don't do it, you know, what good is it? You know, like the Bible said, faith without works is dead. So put some work behind that faith.
Wow. That's, I feel like we've just walked through a step-by-step course. And it's obviously something that you don't want to do without an expert. That's like sitting in, I love how, you know, you're a doctor of finance, because you are sitting with someone that's really got your best interest at heart. I mean, that's clear in how you share. And everyone's is different. And I think like, I've always been a big proponent of sending people to experts. Like, you know what I mean? When I wanted to learn how to scuba dive, I didn't ask my buddy. You know what I mean? I went to a scuba diving instructor and I felt safe, and we walked through the process, and I knew that they knew what they were talking about. And if something was to happen, that person was there to help adjust or pivot or help me out. So thank you for being so congruent, really. I mean, and there's parts in there that are so probably more important for some people than others. But I love, of course, Kiyosaki. He's been such, you know, the quadrant and the cash flow game. I remember all that he's done. And he's a big person that believes in residual income and creating legacy money. So now take us from, I mean, obviously you're a woman of wealth and knowledge, and people absolutely need to tap into that knowledge, but you've got a TV show. How did you go from learning about this, you know, having this experience with your own health, getting into serving others and listening to, you know, your guidance, to getting on TV, girl? Tell us about that.
Well, again, you know, just being obedient to the spirit, you know, because my PR person was saying, you need to get on the show. You need to, you know, Zandra was saying, you need to have your own show. It's like, yeah, maybe I do, but, you know, now's not the time. But then when the spirit said, okay, now's the time, get on that show. And I was really so pleased with the results, because all of my guests on season one were people I knew personally. I did business with them, but even doing the interviews, I learned so much from them. It's like, I thought I already knew what you were doing, knew what you were talking about. But then again, it goes to show you never know too much. There's always something to learn. And no matter where you are in business, there's still something that you need to know to take you to that next level. So, the first season was, I didn't really know what I was doing, but it turned out it looks like I did know what I was doing. But season two is geared more toward a business. It's the business edition. Season one was more toward just general personal finances, but season two is geared toward helping businesses go to the next level. Like I said, you got to have that mindset. You have to have the knowledge to be able to take your business to the next level. You're never too old to learn. And people say, oh, you're a doctor, you got your doctor of business administration. But it's like, hey, I got my doctor of business administration from School of Hard Knocks. This technical degree that I have. Yeah, I worked hard for it. I did my doctoral study. It took me quite a few years. I was going through cancer when I finished up. But the bottom line is, the stuff I teach, I learn from experience. I learn from real experiences, not because I learned something in the book. And that's why I like the DBA versus the PhD, because it's about practical, knowledge. It's not about philosophical knowledge. And I'm not knocking PhDs, but I'm just saying, when you're an entrepreneur, you need to know from practical experience, and if you can learn from someone else's experience, that makes it even sweeter. But it's a growing and constant learning curve. No matter what you're doing, no matter what your business is, you got to have that right mindset, and you have to have the knowledge to go with it.
It reminds me of, thank you so much for that. It reminds me of, I was talking to a woman who has been in my industry, even though I've done 30 years, she's done longer. And I think it's always good to go there. And we were having a conversation and she said, the best thing you can do, and we've heard it many times, if you read Napoleon Hill, if you read, certain books, they'll tell you to surround yourself with the right people and always try to be kind of like maybe sitting in a circle where there's that you can give and serve to people, but you can also learn and learn more, somewhere in the middle. Right. Mm-hmm. But when you talk, it's kind of like when I imagine she said, Deb, do this, where do you want to go in life? Like, what does that number look like? What you want to make, what kind of people do you want to have? What kind of experience? Where do you want to be having dinner? What does it look like? And then she said, draw this circle. And in that circle, you want to have what you call your board of directors. And as a solopreneur, I was like, I'd never seen it like that. And she's like, who's going to take you to that place? And so I really see someone like yourself, Wendy, as when you're putting people in, like, who's going to help me with my health? Who's going to help me with my mindset? Who's going to help me with my finances? Who's going to help me with my marketing? And just bridging that, creating that board of directors, like where you said you can pool from. We know, one thing I know about entrepreneurs is we're probably really, really, really experienced in one sector. And then we kind of know about the rest. We know enough to know that we need it, or we burst and spend time with somebody and you understand it. But when you have that circle, that board of directors that you go to, okay, I'm going to Wendy about my finances. This is what I'm doing. I want to expand my business. I want to, my daughter's having another child. I want to know how to take care of generation to generation or whatever. When you have them and you're part of somebody else's, she goes, it's so much easier. And I just thought, and she literally had me do that, do a circle on a page. Who's your board of directors? Who are you going to for experience? You know where you want to go. Now, there's pieces that you need to put in there. It was such a kind of like a visual for me. It was a visual of exactly what it is that you're talking about.
Yeah, so, don't want to rule people out,
No.
Because people at all levels can teach you. Just because they don't have a degree doesn't mean they don't know what they're talking about. And I'm going to tell you this quick example. My neighbor is a medical doctor. He was, rest his soul, he passed away. But, I've been in business, I guess when I met him, I probably was in business 15, 20 years. And, he worked for a hospital, a medical, entity, and eventually he got out on his own. So I was trying to kind of guide him on, what to look for and all that and what to do, how to structure things. And then he's going to tell me, I'm a medical doctor. I'm not a businessman. It's like, look, you got your own practice. You're a businessman, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And he didn't, you know, my philosophy is you may not have to do everything. And I believe in hiring the experts, but until you can hire expert, you need to know how to do it yourself. Not that you'll do it yourself. I remember when I first started my office equipment company, my colleagues used to laugh at me because here I was with all this corporate suit on, you know, going out to see my clients, but I got a big contract to deliver paper, you know, 2 pallets of paper to one client. And I had a friend that let me use his pickup truck to do it. And they, you know, and even the people at the, when I got to the delivery pool where I had to deliver the paper, you know, people were kind of, they weren't laughing, but they were kind of teasing me. It's like, here you are all dressed up and you're up here delivering this paper, you know. But every time I made that delivery, I walked away with orders because the people in the receiving department were authorized to purchase up to $5,000 without going through purchasing and all that. So I developed relationships with them. And then I let them know, look, I can't afford to hire anybody right now, but you know, when I do hire somebody, I'm going to know how long it's going to take them to get over here, you know, what they need to do. So you know, it gives you that experience. And I wasn't too proud to go and deliver the paper because that was my business. I made a commitment to fulfill that contract. So people have to come down off of that cloud that I'm high and mighty and realize that who you think may not know, may have the answer to the question you have. So, you know, people have to, you know, be humble, you have to be receptive, and you have to just know that you have to ask for what you need to know, you know, ask for what you want, because if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And, you know, to having those people that you could go to, just like my mentor, when I was having anorexic cash flow, I went to him. I wasn't too proud or anything. And I told him, look, I'm having some issues. My money is just not flowing like it needs to. And sure enough, he had the solution for me, you know, but I had to fulfill, I had to do it. But the fact that I could go to him and ask him, you know, because some people have been too proud to say, you know, they ain't got the money, you know, they're supporting, you know, this business, they're putting it out there, but nobody's paying them. So I'm like, hey, I'm not getting paid all the time. So you have to be willing to have that circle of people that you can go to. And it doesn't always have to be some well-known, you know, high echelon person. It could just be the person that has the answer to your question.
Oh, as you're talking, I'm getting flashes of many times of that, not only in my early days, but even look, you're seasoned, obviously I'm seasoned. When you decide to take your business in another direction or add another project on, I was just finishing talking to a gentleman on a podcast, and the podcast was, you know, what was the book that changed your life? And it kind of started this conversation. And I talked about in the beginning of my business, you know, how nervous that you are. And I live in Vancouver. And so I did so many flyers. I couldn't afford to put an ad in a paper. So I went to Kinko's. It's a photocopy shop, made a flyer together. On good weeks, I could do color. And on weeks that I didn't have any clients, I did black and white. And I plastered all of an area called Kitsilano because I did massage and it was very massage oriented. They're very holistic thinking. And I put so many flyers out. The city of Vancouver called me and said, please stop. Now, that was some of the spunk in the beginning. And I still find myself, as I take on new projects or I venture into something new, there is that sense of not knowing. Like, you know, if you're ever ending and growing, and like you said, you're guided by spirit, and all of a sudden spirit tells you to go do something, and you're like, what? Really? I don't even have the time. Where do you think I'm going to find that? And you find yourself kind of at that, not bottom again, but just that kind of place where you're looking up and you're like, how am I going to make this happen? And that sense of nervousness. I think it's very cyclical. I mean, what you get through experience is knowing that you can pull it off and knowing that you can ask people. But I agree. Some of the best advice that I've had from people have been people that, honestly, I used to talk about this. I think the best relationship advice I ever got was from taxi drivers in Ireland. So, you know, because they love to talk. And I remember this one guy was talking and we were chatting and we were talking about relationships. And I was like, it's kind of like the scene from The Holiday, if you ever see it, where, you know, this guy gives advice over to Kate Blanchett in 3 seconds. And she goes, I've been seeing my therapist for 3 years and I've never had it delivered to me like that. I was listening to this guy and he's talking, we're talking about relationships. And I was like, I think you just answered every question I would have wanted to ask a therapist. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and you just have to be receptive to hearing it from no matter who's saying it. And then, you know, like I said, I'm spiritually mature now, and I'm so happy I am, because before I became spiritually mature, you know, I was like trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. You know, I can't do this because I don't have the money or I don't have the connection. But then once I became spiritually mature, it's like, okay, Lord, this is my vision. Go ahead and give me that provision. I'm listening, you know, and next thing you know, I'm getting all this, you know, insight on where to go, who to talk to. So I don't do anything without checking my spirit first. You know, my people used to tell me, you need to write a book. You know, I'm not writing a book. And then the spirit said, okay, it's time to write that book. Next thing I know, wrote it in like 60 days, and it was the number one new release, a bestseller. And I'm like, okay, shoot, this isn't this bad. I guess I dreaded the process more than I should have. And next thing I know, I wrote book two of my Financial Cures book series. Now I'm on 8 anthologies, which are all bestsellers. So, you know, the opportunities come, but I don't move unless the spirit tells me to move. But once the spirit tells you to move, you better be ready, because it'll flow, you know, and that's like with the show. First, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But then I was listening to Zandra on a Clubhouse session, and then spirit said, okay, it's time to get in on that show. And it's like, all right, now I don't know what I'm doing, but I went on and did it. Next thing I know, now I'm on season two, and I'm so proud, because season one, one of my guests was awarded a multi-million dollar contract from being on my show as a direct result. And I said, how do you know it was a direct result? He said, because the person that gave me the contract said, they decided because they saw that episode of the show. You know, that's how they decided them over the competition. I was like, okay, so I guess my show does have an impact, you know. So it's those kind of things. And another thing I want to point out, you know, as an entrepreneur and businesswoman, you want to make money, but eventually you have to get where it's not about the money. You know, what I do, you know, I don't do it for the money, you know, and I'm saying that because I'm not saying I'm doing everything for free, but there are times when you have to do it because spirit said, okay, do it for this person, don't charge them or don't charge them as much. But then, you know, the spirit will say, okay, they want to pay you, but don't take their money because they ain't the right people you need to be dealing with. So you have to realize that money shouldn't be the ultimate decision maker for whatever it is you're trying to do. But you do want to make money now. Don't get me wrong.
No, I think that people that are listening understand, very much understand that. And that's a great, I'm glad that you said that because, you know, we all have that feeling. There's been times where we've kind of walked away from something thinking maybe it could have been financial. And there's times where we've just kind of led with our heart, right? Led with our heart, did things that you knew may not be that financial piece, but you know that it's going to come from somewhere else because you just know, you just have the inkling, you have the inspiration, you hear it in your head, you move in that direction, that person's name keeps coming up for you, you're just moved by spirit, right? You're just like, this is what I need to do. So I know that we're coming to a little bit to a close. I'm sure I can hear, it's funny because when I'm doing a show, I can always hear like questions in my head and there's lots of chatter there. And I know that people can reach out to you. So thank you for sharing that you have books for people to tap into. I didn't even know that about you. And so you have 8 books. Please tell people where they can get those. I know that you are gracious enough that you have space on this next season that you're going into with your TV show. So for the right person that's listening to this and is inspired and goes, TV show, I've always wanted to be on TV. What a great platform to connect with you with and see if it is a good fit for you both. And if not, I'm sure you can refer them to someone that it would be and or who's ever thought about doing that. I always say, because, you know, my media company produces anthologies. And when someone says, I've always wanted to write a book one day, I'm like, start with an anthology. Be part of the process. So coming onto your show and being a guest on a TV show and learning what you need to learn. There's new skills to being a guest on a show. And what does that look like? And then being able to know and understand going into their own show. I'm kind of talking your talk right now, but I want people to know you're multifaceted. You're what I would call an entrepreneur. You're an author. You have a show. You're dedicated to your craft. You've got experience of other industries behind you. So maybe tell us, tell people first how they can get a hold of you, but what are some of these books that we can go purchase and where are they?
Okay, well, I just happened, well, my two books of, that are part of my Financial Cures book series, the first one is Diagnose Your Financial Health, and the second one is Optimize Your Financial Health. They're both available on Amazon. They are available in hardcover. You know, I just got the hardcover copies and they look so good. I'm like, And then, matter of fact, I think the listing for the other anthologies are on Amazon as well. So, you know, just go to Amazon, put in Dr. Wendy Labatt and you'll see my books and, you know, feel free to order them. Feel free to leave a review. And if you want to check out season one of my show, go to FinCures, that's FinCures.com. And you can watch the whole first season. And I have a gift for your audience. So if you want to get my free guide to 6 ways to stop hemorrhaging money, text the word guide, that's G-U-I-D-E, to 770-796-4944. Now, I don't know if you have to put a 1 in front of it, you know, being in Canada, I'm not sure how you call to the US, but this is a text opt-in and you can get that free guide to 6 ways to stop hemorrhaging money.
Okay. Well, how about this? Why don't you text that to me and I'll actually play that out, because of course this show is international. So that won't, so I just want to know also for international people. So send it to me. Okay. So, and then I will go and text it and then I'll let you know on that. But we have a lot of people in the USA that are listening to our podcast right now. So, well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to finish with before I ask you one very important question?
Yes, I like to finish with a quote that I have coined, and it says, when you think right, speak right, and do right, things will flow right to optimize your financial health.
Ooh, I think I have a book that you can put a quote in. Just saying. I don't know if we've talked about that, but that's a quote that needs to be heard. Okay, so we're going to shake it up a little bit. And Wendy, you're heading off to a desert island, just you, no one else but you. And you're moving, that's it. You're going, and you are allowed in your suitcase to take one album. What album are you taking?
One album, that is a music album?
Yeah, one music album, yeah.
That's a hard one.
I know.
Well, I would have to say, Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder, because that takes me to an awesome place in my life. And then he's so inspirational and I can listen to that over and over and over again. So I would say the Songs in the Key of Life album from Stevie Wonder.
All right. That's what you want music to be, right? I think, you know, I'm questing across Ireland in about a year and a half from now. And, Gracious, She Is the Music, Alicia Keys' organization, is going to be the recipient of the funds that we gather. So myself and my girlfriend are going to go do this, you know, 10 marathon walk. And it really is for music. And music is such a powerful vibration, right? It's like vibrates right up there with love. And so it's very interesting to know, because music is a mover for people. You know, sometimes we put it on because we're sad and we need to have that experience and allow ourselves to feel sad. And then there's always that song we remember, oh, you know, my daughter's wedding or my wedding or high school or friends with or something that moves us. So I feel educated. I don't know about you, but I'm sure out there you feel educated. I feel well-rounded and ready to learn more and do more about the areas of my life in relationship to money. So thank you so much for that. And you guys know how to contact, right? Did we give them a website? Oh, yes. Did we give them a website to go to, or?
I didn't give them my website. I gave them the site for the show, but I'm going to give you my website,
yes.
Which is The Financial Cures. That's the T-H-E financial, FinanCial, cures with an S, CURES.com. And that has all the information, how to get in touch with me about my books, about my courses, the show,
awesome.
Everything.
All right. There's where everything sits. Thank you so much for your time today. I know it's valuable. I so appreciate you coming onto the show. Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for viewing. Please continue to share this episode. Appreciate you. If you want to come onto the show, you know how to get in touch with me. If you are an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur, if you're creative or you're in media, or you're any one of the generations and doing this world of entrepreneurship, we want to hear from you. So I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again, Wendy, and we will see everybody next week.